Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app.
Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you're a maintenance supervisor for a commercial property, you've had to deal with everything from leaky faucets to flickering light bulbs. But nothing's worse than that ancient boiler that's lived in the building since the day it was built, 50 years ago. It's enough to make anyone lose their cool. That's where Grainger comes in. With industrial-grade products and dependable fast delivery, Grainger can help with any challenge, from worn-out components to everyday necessities. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Women to Watch is an intimate look into the lives of prominent and influential women leaders from around the world and the challenges they faced on their journey. It's the real story behind her title. Join us every week to hear more stories about women from around the world and in your own communities at womentowatch.net. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Women to Watch. I'm Sue Rocco. Thanks so much for being with me. Joining me in just a moment will be Laura Miranda. And Laura is the co-founder and managing partner of B Partners, which is a boutique, strategic, and marketing firm. Laura's going to share with us a very impactful story, an adversity she faced when she was a young girl in losing her dad, and really how that connects to who she is and how she works today. Don't forget to stay with us during the break, where you'll hear from our corporate partners. And if you're interested in being a part of the show, feel free to reach out to me directly at susan@womentowatch.net. And lastly, I invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel at W2W Media and our newsletter as well to stay up to date on all things Women to Watch. So now I'm very honored to welcome to the show, Laura Miranda. Laura, hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, nice to be here.
Nice to have you. And just so our audience knows, you're joining us from Northern New Jersey.
Yes, in a town called Westfield, just about 30 minutes outside of the city.
And remind me, is that where you grew up?
No, actually, I am a military brat, so grew up all over, mainly the South. I was born overseas, but I've been in New York, New Jersey for about 15 years now.
I thought I would start with a quote, because I think it really speaks to the connection between your growing up years and who you are today and your work as an entrepreneur. And you shared with me, you said, having lost my dad when I was 8 years old impacted so much of how I choose to live my life, both personally and professionally. And I wonder if you can just speak to how has that shaped who you are?
Yeah, I'd say, we could spend a long time unpacking that, but I think the biggest takeaway for me is nothing is ever given or guaranteed. You know, I'm getting to an age now where I'm almost as old as he was when he passed, and I have kids that were his age, and he was an entrepreneur himself. And I just know every single day, like, it's a little morbid, but also incredibly motivating just to realize, you know, all you really have is today. And so I would rather not live with regret. And so I'd rather try and fail and learn than live my life, you know, wondering why.
So Laura, that's, you know, that's a major, I'll say adversity, not challenge, adversity that happened to you. And I think 8 years old is such an impactful age, because it's that time between stepping out of being a child completely oblivious to the world and the fact that bad things can happen. And then, you know, understanding that they can. Can you describe that time that you found out, and whether or not was there discussion about your dad's passing from your mom or family, or was it just kind of, we're going to pick up and move on with life now?
Yeah, no, there wasn't. I wish there had have been. My mom had five kids at the time, and I was the oldest at 8 years old. So understandably, she was very overwhelmed. But I came to the realization that he had passed on my own. I remember because we had been taken away for a couple of days after, I guess, my mom found out, and then we came back. She told us, and again, to your point, I was old enough to realize and put the pieces together of what had happened. And honestly, from that day on, it was very traumatic. And I still, you know, feel very much like that 8-year-old little girl here and there throughout my life. But you know, as you grow, you learn how to take care of that little girl back then a little bit better and better. But at that moment, I became incredibly self-reliant, sometimes to a fault, but it definitely serves me well in the entrepreneur world where, you know, you really do have to rely on yourself and ideally find your people. But at the end of the day, you know, you have to either sink or swim.
Yeah. So being the oldest of six kids, often that person, that child is left to kind of be the leader. And was that the case as well? And would you say there's a link between that role and being independent today?
Yes and no. It was funny. My sister, who was the second in the birth order, she actually became more of the nurturer to the kids. And I somehow became more of the partner to my mother, which I didn't resent at all growing up. But it just made me become comfortable with managing up, I suppose, which is, again, something you have to do so much in business and entrepreneurship and having to be comfortable in situations that you weren't necessarily prepared for or comfortable with, but just having to deal with it anyways. So I'm not the stereotypical oldest sister, but definitely it has carried over into my professional life today.
So tell me, when you think back at that time, what were you aspiring to be, other than the fact that, you know, you were dealing with the kind of the personal development of being independent and I'm going to take, you know, take care of myself. What were you aspiring to be?
I'm not even entirely sure. Luckily my parents had instilled in me, just expectation that I would go to college and do something. I remember, again, my dad was an entrepreneur, and he often would say, you know, I want you to grow up and run the business when you get bigger. And so I got really excited being able to help him on job sites. He was in construction and help in the office. I was also always really interested in writing and homework, which is a weird thing to like, but I liked playing school with the little kids, not because I liked taking care of kids, but I liked creating homework for them to do, and then I would get to grade. I was also really artistic. So I don't know. I was just, I've always been very curious and very hungry and very intense when I get interested in something new and to the point of, you know, just wanting to master it. So I wasn't really entirely sure what I wanted to do until I got to college. And then still at that point, I didn't know. I just knew the things that I liked. And luckily I followed that intuition to where
I ended. I did that as well. I mean, other than I always wanted to be a singer, I knew that wasn't going to happen. So then I had to become realistic about that. So I know that you went to the University of Arkansas. Why did you choose that school?
Well, University of Central Arkansas, not the University of Arkansas. I always say Scottie Pippen, not Razorbacks. It was a very small school. And I guess it's a funny story. I had a boyfriend all throughout high school. And speaking of, you know, what I was aspiring to be at the time, I was just aspiring to be a wife, which is a weird thing to say. But I mean, I was growing up in the, you know, really deep South. Luckily, right before high school graduation, I realized, yeah, this can't be it. Like, there's got to be a lot
be more.
And so I'd always had good grades, right? I loved homework. And so I had a scholarship lined up to go to the University of Central Arkansas. And I was very fortunate in that I didn't have to take out any student loans. I was able to go there, get my education. And actually, my sophomore year, so 19 years old, a fresh 19-year-old, I got an internship at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Never been to New York City. In fact, I thought it was a garden. It just sounded like Herald Square or something. I'm like, okay, whatever. It's New York.
I thought, wow, I work in a garden.
I don't know. It's New York City. I guess that's a big break. So I got really lucky, and luckily I was in a small enough school where I was able to quickly connect with the dean of my college and just explain to him that it wasn't a garden, it was Madison Square Garden, and I had to take this opportunity. And I think because it was a small school, I was able to maneuver some things and make basically a semester abroad remote happen that allowed me to take that internship, which then was the stepping stone for all of my future career opportunities.
Yeah. It's interesting. My next question was about that internship, because I think we always remember those opportunities. And what do you think it was about that experience that caught your interest in sports and entertainment as far as marketing and branding?
I loved the energy. And like I said, I've always been curious from a really young age. And I absolutely loved, and I still love to this day, the ability to dive deep into different businesses and understand what motivates them and what their priorities are and what makes them tick, and then offer them solutions. I started off in the corporate hospitality department, so it was less marketing and branding, but still you had to understand what was important to a law firm, to a CPG company, and it really ran the gamut. And then you got to know those top business decision makers. And I think it was the energy, you know, just the huge events and activity that was happening every day at the garden, paired with that, you know, business curiosity. It was so interesting to me. And ultimately, I decided to go into more of a business development role, because I just knew that if you can generate money, you become indispensable in terms of your professional skill set. And while I was never keen to be a salesperson, I knew that if I wanted to have influence and job security and impact that I ultimately wanted to have, that was where I needed to go. So I pivoted pretty quickly.
Yeah. Was there anyone along the way in the early years of your career that you think of as someone who believed in you and perhaps mentored you and helped you along the way?
Yeah, there's quite a few people actually. Like I said, Madison Square Garden was the first internship, and every professional opportunity I've gotten stemmed from the relationships I started to build there. Literally every job I've had has been because of someone I worked with prior recommending me or going somewhere else and then bringing me on board. And so I wouldn't say there's one person in particular. There's a couple of people, men and women, who have been more consistent throughout my career, but I've been a pretty ambitious person, It's funny, a lot of folks that I started working with, 15 years ago are still in very similar roles, and mine has done several 360s since then. So I can't say that there's been any one person who guided me on that path. That's been very self-established, but definitely there's a lot of people that played an integral role.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to share another quote because it speaks to this ambition of yours. In less than 4 years, you said, I raised 4 children. I launched 2 businesses. I quadrupled my income and generated over $70 million in revenue for clients. So I know you've referenced it a little bit about where that drive comes from, but I'm curious as to whether you're still working at that level today and where you think it ultimately comes from. What is it that keeps you determined to make it all happen?
That's a great, great question. Sometimes I wish I didn't have such an ambition, because it would make life perhaps easier, but then I think it'd be a lot less interesting.
And by the way, this would be a good time to let our viewers and listeners know that you're a mom of 2 sets of twins.
Yes, 14 months yes. apart. That was a busy pandemic.
Yes. Well, that alone, yeah, is enough to manage.
Yeah. Well, I think it all comes back to wanting to have options and wanting to have impact and wanting to be able to make choices. Like when I was a little kid, I was blindsided by, my father passing and didn't have a lot of choice. And when I did find out there was more opportunity that I could have had, I was like kicking myself for years. You know, if I had just known, maybe I would have set myself up for bigger success. The reason I was so ambitious with my career, because the kids kind of just happened. I can't take any credit for that efficiency. But from the career perspective, honestly, my kids motivated me a lot. I was just kind of trudging along, keeping my head down, trying to just work harder, but under the same conditions as everyone else, until I had kids. And then I realized I work really hard and I'm really good at what I do. I can either keep doing this and being capped in terms of my earning potential, my growth potential, my ability to try new things and learn and fail if that means fail, but also have much higher upside and hopefully impact that can benefit other people like me, women who want to have families and careers, right? And so I took a step back, and that's kind of where the quadrupled income came from, is because I took a step back. I was fortunate to be in a position where, you know, financially I could do that. But so I took about a year semi off and just focused on nurturing relationships and exploring the things that I was best at and just honing in on that. And then organically, those huge revenue and professional careers came about. And I was able to capitalize on them and just keep going. I wish I could say I had a master plan, but, you know, we just live each day as it comes and hope to ultimately provide a life that I'm proud of, that helps people and allows me to keep the main thing, which is my family.
Yeah. So you've actually said, you know, that motherhood has impacted your career in a positive way. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that a lot of women feel that. I think they think it's sometimes an added, you know, thing to manage. So mm-hmm. How would you describe the positive impact of being a mother has had on your career?
Tactically, it makes you incredibly efficient, right? Yeah. during the height of the pandemic, when I had 2 to 4 babies at a time, right? I was lucky that I could work from home, and I've worked from home ever since the pandemic. So that definitely impacts it a lot. But I'm much better at setting boundaries now. And that's always been a tricky thing for me. You know, I work until I feel like it's perfect. But now with the kids, right, I don't want to compromise evenings with them or mornings with them or being able to go. I have to go to their parent teacher conference tonight, right? Like, I'm going to set boundaries now because they matter. Also, that's what gave me the courage to kind of step away for a little bit, right? I was like, this is taking too much from my kids, and I have to do what's, they cannot be the collateral in this situation. There's not enough of upside or even reason to do that. I won't compromise. So it gave me the courage to step away for a little bit, which then opened the door for the right types of opportunities. So I wouldn't necessarily say it's easier. I mean, obviously there's so many more financial and logistical challenges that come with it. I'm very fortunate to have the resources and access to, you know, daycare and nannies and family to help, because it's absolutely essential. It just really helped me get my priorities straight.
I'm curious to know, because when I think about 12 years when I started this show, and young women seemed to be more, they were caught up in the grind and they were just feeling the pressure to do it all. Would you say that women your age today have seen the light enough that most of them are setting boundaries and making priorities for themselves so that they're not overextended and exhausted?
Yes and no. I think, unfortunately, the reality of my peers, so women with young kids, feel like they're just getting by, or they are actually losing their careers, or they're considering if they should quit their job, but they need it financially. I mean, all the moms I come across in daycare who are incredibly talented, brilliant women, I mean, I feel like most of the time when I talk to them, they're just overextended and they feel guilty and it's tough. And even, you know, on the professional side, women I come across, I feel like we get so caught up in trying to please everyone that we forget that that's not necessarily what's in our best interest or other people's best interest. So I've tried to become less apologetic and people pleasing in recent years. I'm still very much a work in progress, but you know, I am a self-proclaimed bad mom when it comes to like PTA responsibilities. Like, I did volunteer at the school book fair this week, but that was my first volunteer activity.
Honest to God, those are full-time jobs. Schools ask of the mothers to do. It's unreal.
I know. And I just don't have capacity for that at the moment. Right? And like I said, we have the au pair. Like I don't do my kids' laundry. There's just certain things that I cannot do because I do not have the mental bandwidth, and it won't serve people for me to do that and just be too stressed out. So I wish more women were able to distance themselves a little bit from the day-to-day grind and prioritize themselves a little bit better. But I mean, society and the systems just also are not set up for that. So it's not necessarily lack of trying.
Yeah.
It's really tough.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the good news is we're kind of bringing that to the forefront and talking about it so that there can be solutions at some point. We're going to go into our first break. And when we come back, I want to talk about the business and your partnership with Ariana. Stay with us as we go into our break. You'll hear from our Watch team of corporate partners, and we'll be right back with Laura Miranda.
Hi, my name is Christy McCaffrey. I'm the founder and owner of Be The Good Media, and I'm here to share some good news with you. Today, I wanted to share with you about a woman who is truly doing meaningful and impact-driven work in her community. Her name is Corinne O'Connell. Corinne is the CEO of Habitat for Humanity Philadelphia. And as CEO, Corinne and her team work to make sure that every person in our city has a decent place to live. I was truly inspired in speaking with Corinne on my show because it was just so clear how passionate she is about making a meaningful impact in her community and in the lives of those she serves, not just today, but for many more years to come. You can hear more of my conversation with Corinne at BeTheGoodMedia.com. And there you will also learn more about how Be The Good Media helps to amplify impact-driven missions and causes. Again, I'm Christy McCaffrey. Stay tuned here on Women to Watch Media for more good news.
Ladies, I'm Tiffany Curtin, a financial professional with more than 25 years of experience serving successful women, families, and businesses. Here's the reality. You don't have to be the one managing your family's finances to take ownership of your future. But if you want true confidence about how everything is going to play out, you do have to take part in the process. That doesn't mean digging the weeds of your finances when you don't have the time or desire.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It means elevating your awareness of your own circumstances. It means having the bigger conversations so you're empowered when you need to be. Let's bring confidence to your family's future without overwhelming your time. Call my cell at 903-520-2709. That's 903-520-2709. Or visit Johnson Financial Group on our website, www.jfg.cc. Not .com. www.jfg.cc.
Hi, I'm Dawn Zier, CEO, board director, and executive mentor to Fortune 500 executives through my work at the EXCO Group, firm of experienced CEOs, board directors, and global business leaders who offer real-world experience to help organizations and senior leaders grow. Today on Leadership Watch, we're going to talk about being in the driver's seat of your career. No matter what stage you're at in your career, you need to grasp that you are in the driver's seat. Understanding from day one that you and you alone are responsible for your career is critical. After all, why would you hand your career over to someone else to manage? There's no one as vested in yourself as you. And the ugly truth is that most managers are focused on execution rather than team development. So how can you ensure that your career stays on track? First, make sure you have a clear set of agreed upon goals that are measurable, and if priorities shift, rewrite them with buy-in. Two, if you see something that can be improved upon or automated, don't wait to be asked, just do it. This is good advice for tech-savvy millennials and Gen Zs who can help lead the way with AI. Three, don't insulate yourself. Get to know other parts of the organization and network both internally and externally. Feel free to drive outside of your lane. And four, while your career is yours to own, don't go it alone. Identify sponsors and mentors. Also, it's important to make self-reflection and self-assessment a habit. Think through where you want to be 5 years from now and create a roadmap for yourself. Does your current path get you there? Are you passionate about what you're doing? Do you feel challenged? Are you learning? Do you feel respected? And importantly, are you a cultural fit? And is the company a cultural fit for you? If you answer negative to any of these questions, it's likely time for some course correcting. Please follow me on LinkedIn at Dawn Zier. And if you're a senior executive looking to grow in your career, check out expoleadership.com to learn more.
Hi, welcome back to the show. I'm speaking this week with Laura Miranda, and Laura is the co-founder and managing partner of Be Partners. And maybe the first great question as far as your business is to ask where the name came from.
It's a great question. There's a lot of different meanings. It was fun once we kind of landed on it. So it initially originated from, I had a newsletter back in the day when I had a little bit more time called Brands, Business, and Babies, because those were basically the three things that my life revolved around. And so the B, you know, started with each of those words. We wanted the business to sound kind of like a law firm because what we do is very high level and strategic. We also loved the kind of double entendre of B being an action verb, right? So as female founders, we wanted to start B Partners to show to the world, not necessarily talk about it, but show to the world what was possible when two women got together in a revenue generating capacity to drive business forward. That just doesn't happen very often. And so B is kind of a reminder to be about it, right? So a lot of different meanings.
You referenced we, and I know you're referring to Ariana Deveria, your partner. How did the two of you come together?
Funny enough, through our husbands. So they went to elementary school together, her husband and my husband. And I met her about 10 years ago when she was dating her now husband, and we went to her wedding, and we've been friends from afar for a decade, right? And we've seen each other grow up and mature. And it's been a really, you know, fun ride. And we always kind of daydream. We always had this connection around daydreaming about what was possible and dreaming big and starting businesses and having freedom, all these things that we both value. So like I said, when I took a little bit of a step back from full-time agency life, I had some organic opportunities come up, and she was just someone that I always bounced things off of. And she has very distinctive skill sets to mine. And so I started talking to her about, like, hey, would you just come advise, which turned into, hey, do you want to be partners, which turned into, oh, we're doing this.
We're starting a company. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you just launched in August of 2023. So you've passed the 1 year milestone. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about the business as far as clients and revenue and where things stand just a little over a year in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've been doing a lot of retrospective thinking, looking at the first year and thinking about the years ahead. And I am mind blown at the progress that we've made in just this 14 months. And during that 14 months, might I add, Ariana had her first child. So there was a maternity leave and her becoming a mother.
Wow. Baked
in there, right? Oh my gosh.
Right.
Got to be about it, right?
Right.
But we are working with some of the biggest brands in sports and media and entertainment in various capacities. So Ariana specializes in out-of-home media development, and so she works with a lot of venues, including Intuit Dome and SoFi Stadium and UBS Arena, which are some of the biggest and most technologically advanced stadiums in the U.S. these days. I've been really privileged to work with some amazing women's sports companies and emerging companies like Athletes Unlimited, as well as some just incredibly established properties like the USGA, U.S. Ski and Snow, and most recently, the New York Mets. We've also done a little bit of consulting work with Candy Crush, which is one of the biggest mobile gaming companies on the planet. So it really blows my mind. All of that has come from word of mouth and referrals. And we have a pretty nimble team. We are part of a bigger agency network, which has been fantastic, Underdog. So we're able to pull in resources and advisory services from different parts of the larger organization when we need to, but we're a pretty lean, mean team.
Yeah. I'm wondering how you, well, first of all, let me ask you this. In the environment today, things have changed so much with technology, social media, people's ability to kind of promote and get messaging out on their own. Are there more boutique firms like yours as opposed to large organizations like the Mets, for example, having their own in-house marketing team? And then how do you compete with the large, large agencies?
Actually, we've been finding, we've been beating out some of those really large agencies because we're different. And that's, you know, we're different by design. I mean, we're two women. We're only, I think, 50% of us are white. So we're very diverse and we just think differently innately. So our partners usually come to us when they want their organization to think and act differently in order to generate new revenues that don't exist, new revenue streams, and growth, right? And you can't achieve that by doing things the same old way. And we've done it successfully in previous roles at previous companies and, just over this past year at Be Partners. We come in and help our partners figure out how to value engineer the assets that they currently have, how to optimize them, how to identify new opportunities for value creation and ultimately revenue generation. We aren't here to take revenue away from their usually existing in-house sales teams. We're here to make the pie bigger and we're here to set them up for long-term success. So our value proposition, most big properties are used to traditional sales agencies, right? Coming in and saying, oh, I'll generate all this revenue for you. They take your retainer money and then they make a few introductions and that's it. They don't do the extra creative legwork or give you the dedicated attention that we will. And on the other side, from a consulting perspective, right? Properties don't want to just pay for fancy strategy. They want to see results. And so we marry those two.
So that's how you would say you're unique in that you do have a strong focus on generating revenue, not just PR, not just getting someone's name and messaging out there. So you have to be really creative with your ideas, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is that the fun part or is that the pressure cooker part?
That's the fun part. Like I said earlier, the only thing I knew I wanted to do aspiration-wise when I went to college was I like to be creative and I like business. So this is the perfect combination of that for me, right? I go in, I learn my partner's business, and then I have to get creative about how to add optimized value and then position that in a way that's relevant for potential new partners. So it's very, very heavy creative work and a lot of just nuanced, you know, internal dynamics works. But it's really interesting. The folks that we have on our team, the ones who are leading these projects really love that kind of nerdy stuff. And then, of course, we have doers on the team, too, who can help us execute and build these ideas and concepts and assets. So it's a team effort for sure.
How large is your team? How many employees do you have?
Right now, we are 8.
Okay. Wow. I mean, for 1 year, mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah.
They say as entrepreneurs, it can often take 5 years to really become fully revenue generating and building the team that you need.
Yeah, no, we're on track to break even, hopefully, this fiscal. So we're doing pretty good, I'd say.
Tell me how your relationship with Ariana, because I think there might be women listening that have these dreams of starting a business, and sometimes that decision to bring in a partner or to not go it alone is a really tough decision. So how has it worked for you, and how do you separate, you know, responsibilities in a way that's doesn't conflict?
Well, I mean, transparently, it's still a work in progress, right? We've known each other for a long time, but we've never worked together. One of our sayings is, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. And so we have to be okay with the fact that there's going to be growing pains along the way and just try our best to figure them out and be really honest and open with how we're feeling along the way and keep our North Star in check. I will say we have pretty distinctive skill sets, right? She went to law school and she's very financial and detail and process oriented, whereas I'm more of the creative relationship, free spirit, so to speak, in the partnership. But both are really necessary, right? And so we try to figure out how to divide and conquer as best as possible. And we actually have a third partner, right? We launched the business in partnership with Underdog and Company. So we have another, you know, partner there that we have to engage with and operate under. And I would say in terms of going together or going alone, the reason we decided to do this with each other and with Underdog was because we thought we could get further faster together, right? We didn't want to necessarily spend 10 years mired down in figuring out back-end operations and figuring out how to be profitable and not being able to grow our team. By partnering together, we were able to both bring some business in together from our former portfolios, but also we were able to basically have a ton of support on the back end from the private equity firm and the kind of central nerves center team. So that's been really helpful in letting us just focus on doing the work and hopefully growing it faster.
Yeah. I'd love to end this conversation going back to motherhood, because I think that there's probably some listeners thinking, oh my God, she has two sets of twins and she's running and building, right, a company. And the standard question is, you know, work-life balance, how do you do it? And I understand, you know, building boundaries and making decisions that are right for your family really are best. But is there something you could say to women that will make them feel more at ease in knowing that it truly can be done, but in their own way? Right? They don't have to follow some societal manual and do what social media says they should be doing.
Yeah, I always say, who defined it all? Like for me, that comes back to the system isn't set up to serve us. So why continue to play the game? We have the choice if we want to play that game or not. So I decided, for better or worse, it's not necessarily the easiest decision, but I decided I really want to make up my own rules and play my own game, because I'm not going to get where I want to be playing by those rules. So I just try to remember this is completely made up. And I just choose not to adhere to it. So
yeah,
maybe I should feel guilty for not being on the PTA, but I choose not to be guilty
I love that, because I think that it's such a great revelation to understand that they're really, it's something I say to my kids all the time, you know, don't go follow any manual. This is your life. And really, when I think people can let go of that expectation or that desire to please, right, other people, life becomes so much better and probably leads more to success.
I think so, because you're going to be more impactful and successful at things that you're really passionate about and that do truly align with what you believe in. And, you know, for a long time, I was trying to just fit in and just force myself to go through the motions, and I was miserable and I wasn't really finding success. And then when I took a step back and just tried to listen to my gut and be unapologetic about the things I liked and wanted and could do and wanted to do, it was a total game changer.
Yeah. So you're a great example of that. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you so much coming on the show and sharing a little bit about your story, and I wish you continued success.
Thank you so much. This was a lovely conversation.
Stay with us. We go into our last break and I'll be back to close out the show. Children's Hospital of Philadelphia has long been ranked as one of the best children's hospitals in the country. In our Women to Watch at CHOP series, we'll meet the women working to preserve this best-in-class pediatric innovation. Let's meet Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, Sophia Holder. Sophia, just take a minute to kind of introduce yourself to our guests. Tell them a little bit about where you came from and how you ended up in this role.
Yes, and thank you, Susan, for just the amazing work that you do to inspire women leadership. I would still call myself as new to CHOP. Started just over 3 years ago, and I'm honestly in my dream job in an organization that is focused on delivering and innovating care for children. And so it's hard not to find joy in that space. My career in healthcare spans many years, starting in the adult side and now on the pediatric side. And I'm just really thrilled to be with you today.
What advice would you have for our listeners and our viewers listening to you today?
So I would offer two pieces of advice. Focus on continuous learning. Be a life learner. That's the frame that I often use with those who work with me and for me. Stay updated on industry trends. Continuously seek opportunities for learning and growth. Knowledge is power in any leadership role. I think the other piece of advice I would give is model authenticity. Be authentic and true to yourself. Authentic leadership builds trust and loyalty among your team and your peers, foundational to building effective teams and supporting cross-collaboration and partnership.
Thanks so much to Sophia Holder for joining us. Stay tuned for more Women to Watch at CHOP.
We are CHOP, and we can't wait to show you around. We're the nation's first children's hospital. Now, a care network with more than 50 locations that continues to expand. 3 state-of-the-art research buildings with 1.5 million square feet of space. We have grown from 12 beds 165 years ago to nearly 600 beds and one of the best children's hospitals in the world. We have a level 1 trauma center, 11 floors of patient units, more than 20 operating rooms, first-of-its-kind delivery unit for babies with birth defects, a separate cardiac operative and catheterization suite, and places to learn, like our internationally recognized simulation center. We have trained generations of leaders in the field of pediatrics. We are world leaders in medicine, surgery, and science. One of the top recipients in NIH funding for pediatric research. In this building, pioneers in CAR T therapy, mitochondrial disease, brain tumors, hyperinsulinism, and other rare diseases. Here, groundbreaking work in fetal surgery, genetics and genomics, and neurology. In our newest building, leaders in social determinants of health, clinical informatics and epidemiology, autism, trauma and injury prevention. Our patients come from every state and 115 countries. Meeting these challenges requires the best and the brightest. We are passionate about pediatrics. We are motivated to make a difference in the world and in our community. We are a team. We are CHOP.
That's it, everyone, for another week of Women to Watch. Thanks so much for being with me. Next week, I'll be joined by Elizabeth Hirsch Naftali. And Elizabeth is an author, she's a political advisor, and she's also currently working with our U.S. government for the release of hostages in Gaza. She has a remarkable story to share with us. Thank you, as always, to our sponsors for bringing us news and insights from their industries. I actually could not do this show without them, so I'm very grateful. I hope you have a great week, everyone.
Save big on your Thanksgiving feast, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get three free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get a juicy frozen grade A Kroger turkey for 49 cents a pound, limit one with a $25 additional purchase with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.